When it comes to heating up your business, it's all about making more bacon. And that requires an expert
with a particular set of skills.
You need
a Baconologist.
Building authentic connections, online networking, through social selling, relationship marketing, mindset and training.
Yeah, that's bacon.
Get ready, because we're about to fry up a sizzling success strategy. This is the Bacon Podcast with your host and business Baconologist, Brian Basilico.
It's a lot of bees, man.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. If you've been involved in online marketing in any way over the last 10 plus years, you've been fed a steady diet of more. More followers equals more sales. More hits to your website equals more sales. More social media engagement leads to more sales. Almost nobody would argue that more sales are bad, but people are conflating more with better. I'm here to say that better is worth more. In the know, like, and trust world, we work hard to identify, connect, and maintain relationships with our select audience. I found that people and companies have faltered in capturing, tracking, and updating data about people with whom we have already developed relationships. Companies will use an accounting system or ERP to document customers, but often leave tracking prospects, networkers, non-financial connections to what serves each individual. Companies may try to systematize by adding tools like HubSpot or Salesforce to capture data. Still, it's often left up to individuals to update and maintain current interactions and associated data segmentation. Accounting may be fabulous at segmenting current and past clients or vendors, but is that data being cross-referenced with what's in your CRM? Who's in charge of that? And why would it be important to them? Salespeople and teams are often focused and fed on leads. A lead is someone identified as a potential customer. A lead can come from buying lists, lead generation services, or inquiries on your website. No matter how you obtain and identify them, a lead is treated as a potential sale until it's not. Many companies will toss leads into a database like HubSpot and try to soften them for a sales call. If they don't unsubscribe, then they might be interested. If they pass that test, then they're added to Salesforce and assigned to a salesperson. From there, it's up to the salesperson to reach out and start to categorize them as cold, medium, or hot as a prospect. Hot leads get the most attention. Medium leads may be passed down to a CSR lower level sales enabler. Cold leads are tossed. You may consider keeping all of them on an email drip sequence in your marketing program, engaging their interest based on marketing metrics like clicks and opens. That seems like a good process, but it's also a lot of work. In reality, a lead is nothing more than a cold call. The major problem with cold calls is that you have no idea where people are at in the buying process when you call them. Did they already buy what you're selling? Did they change jobs since the lead was identified? Or were they just having a bad day when you reached out and hung up, unsubscribed, or reported you to the authorities? Programs like LinkedIn Sales Navigator can provide valuable information about who and what company may be a good fit for your products and services. However, that data assumes that the information each user entered is current, accurate, and viable. In the world of relationship marketing, sales begin at a connection. A connection can come in the form of a follow, a friend request, a connection request, a message, a website form submission, or whatever each platform uses to start, generate, and maintain conversations and relational connections. In a perfect B2B world, everybody would be on LinkedIn, log in daily like they do on Facebook, and accept your connection. In the real world, not so much. On average, people spend less than 20 minutes a week on LinkedIn. Around 50% of the people you send a connection request to will accept, even if they're your best friends. Rarely, if ever, will cold connections accept. You can blame that on people who treat connections like cold calls. They hunt, or even worse, buy prospects' contact info and directly message them a cold sales pitch. These people mimic what I call the connecting pitch. They connect, wait a specific amount of time, maybe ask a few questions about you and your business, and then they pounce. Then they try to convince you that a sales call offers mutual benefit. Connecting pitchers could care less about you and your needs, unless you buy from them or can provide them with more hunting leads. In addition, you are probably one of 100 or 1,000 people with the same idea. Then add to that people who don't log into LinkedIn that often, and especially don't want to log in to be sold. These type of cold call connections are just a gazpacho, cold and toxic sales soup. To create great connections, striking when the iron is hot makes sense. If you meet somebody at an event or in person, you can whip out your phone, share a QR code from LinkedIn, and ask them to connect. At the time of this writing, you can go to your mobile device, click search at the top. To the right of that search box is an icon that will open up your personal QR code. Then you can ask that person to open their camera app and click on the link it created. If you're chatting online or on Zoom, you can message them a link to your profile. Mine is https://in/b-basilico. Then ask them to use the connect button and they can send you a connection request. Then it's up to you to confirm that you want to connect. Remember that connections on other platforms like Facebook, Twitter, also X, Instagram, Threads, YouTubes, and others are valuable. If you play in those sandboxes, try to connect with the same people you do on LinkedIn. People tend to log into these platforms daily. Just seeing you or your content, there may be a spark that they need to like your content on LinkedIn. As I mentioned earlier, like is a process. You can do as much or as little as you find valuable or have time for. It's not about connecting with as many people as possible. It's about connecting with the right people who see you and your content at the right time. No matter how many connections you have and how often you post content, you can't control who sees it. The platform's software and algorithms do. Your job is to control what you can and optimize what you can't. For the sake of argument, I use 150 as the number of people who can and will see your content when you post on most platform timelines. Although there are exceptions, this is a fairly solid number, whether you have 100, 1,000, or 10,000 connections. You and your connections' brains would explode if you saw every post from every connection all the time. It would totally make social media unusable. So, to optimize your chances of more people or the right people seeing it, the more platforms you post on, the better the chance of the right person noticing. It may or may not be directly related to your business. But a motivational quote posted on Facebook may spark them to look you up again on LinkedIn, or like your company or personal newsletter. The key here is just getting noticed and staying top of mind. That means you can have fun on Facebook and do business on LinkedIn and still benefit from both platforms. I've received direct messages on Facebook from a post I made on LinkedIn and vice versa. If that same person is on your email list, you can increase your chances of being at the right place at the right time for the right person. When you think about it, you would not want your salespeople doing accounting or your accounting people doing sales. Yet, companies are searching for a tool, software, or system that does both. With that said, it makes sense to have two systems that are not intertwined. That means that data entered in one system does not automatically enter in the other. Tracking connections should be a priority if you want to manage relationships. Your salespeople, even if that's just you, should not be data entry people, yet they should be tasked with updating connection conversations, changes in jobs, companies, and other relative facts should be updated and maintained. The more data is ignored, the less valuable it becomes to individuals and your organization. I like to use a person as an intermediate, whom I call a CRM, Connection Relationship Manager. This CRM can enter new connections and ensure that they're assigned to a specific team or salesperson. They can review newly input conversations, data, or changes and verify the thoroughness of these connections. A CRM can also help tee up conversations by reaching out to contacts. What they should not be tasked with is conversations. As I said before, you cannot outsource relationships. That activity should be delegated to the contacts, salesperson, or connection in your company. The ultimate goal of a CRM, both person and software, is to keep relationships and data fresh, usable, and valuable to your business and its people. The bottom line is, the main goal is to stay top of mind and maintain a connection so people will see your content, consume it, and hopefully learn something, and then engage in a relationship at the time of their choosing. That is the power and promise of social media. And they do this for free so people will pay for advertising to do just that. Make a connection, see your content, consume it, and hopefully learn something, and engage in a relationship that can turn your content into sales.
Thank you for letting us sprinkle some bacon bits into your brains. Want some more? Learn more about this podcast and our guest experts at baconpodcast.com. Have questions? Send them to askbrian@baconpodcast.com. Until next time, keep sizzling. And remember, it's all about the bacon.